like the serpent that beguiled Eve, the devil's substitutes for God look good, very good. That's why the occult is so popular. But the occult's teachings are the doctrines of demons, doctrines that bring death rather than life. These are doctrines Christians must avoid like the plague they really are. Today, what those doctrines teach and why they are so dangerous. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series describes seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today, Dr. Lutzer is speaking on the last snare, occultism, not superstitions, but deceptions. He sums up for us the doctrines of demons.
Now, what I'd like to do in the next few moments, and you know, oftentimes when I prepare a message, like I was doing last night, I said, you know, this message is going to be far too short. And then suddenly I get here and I realize, you know, I think I miscalculated its length. What I'd like to do in the next few moments is to tell you what the doctrines of demons are so that you can recognize them. What are the underlying things that you will find? Now, yesterday I had something to do in a shopping mall, and so I decided to go into the bookstore. And because I was preaching on this, I went over to the New Age spirituality shelf. Shelves, plural. Dozens and dozens, shall I say, without exaggeration, hundreds of books on the occult, and all under the guise of New Age spirituality. So I pulled a few off the shelf and just began to read. Found exactly what I knew was there. You know, you don't even have to buy one of those books without knowing in advance the doctrines of demons that are going to be in those books. What are they? And here I'm going to take a single phrase from Satan in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, and that single phrase will become the basis for the doctrines. First, a wrong pantheistic view of God. Remember what Satan said to Adam and Eve, or to Eve at least, you shall be like God. How in the world can you be like God in the sense that you can be the creator of the sun, the moon, the stars? Unthinkable. So pantheism comes along and says God is all and all is God. And therefore, I am God too because everything is God. God is, in pantheistic literature, the great universal spirit into which you can plug in many, many different ways. He's out there to be manipulated, to be used for your benefit. He's a God who is both good and evil so that you don't know exactly what he is. He is the force. Call him whatever it is that you wish. But somehow he's out there to be accessed by anyone at any time in different ways. Catch this. I know that I could have stayed there for hours. I didn't. I was just there a few moments. But I could have stayed there for hours and read every book on the shelf, and not one of them would have told me that God is so holy that he is unapproachable unless you come with the right sacrifice and through the right person. There is no holiness of God. There's no fear of God before their eyes, the Bible says. Why? Because it's the pantheistic God. It's the universal spirit. There's so much more that could be said. First of all, a wrong view of God underlies it all. Secondly, a wrong view of man. The devil says, you shall be like God. Basically, people are good. Oh, I know that in witchcraft there are evil people who need to be eliminated. But in witchcraft, when you have the power, you know, to cast spells, you have the responsibility to punish those who are evil and to reward those who are good. And you have that power, you see, because you can put those spells on people, those curses. Now, I want you to know that nowhere there is there a concept really of sin. There is evil, but the evil exists outside of people. And furthermore, if there is any evil, the human race is divided on the good people from the bad people. There is no understanding that evil resides in every one of our hearts. And while the bad people may be put out, the good people, they live and they are rewarded with good health, with beauty, with lots of sex, with all kinds of material blessings that come their way. And that's the world, you see, in which they live. At the end of the day, pick up those books and read them. Don't buy them. Don't actually invest your money in them. But at the end of the day, what you'll find on every page is self-worship. I just read from Isaiah a moment ago, "You who say there is me and none beside me." Yeah. Narcissism. It all exists for me. You have to do what is right for you with a human understanding of what that means. A wrong view of God, a wrong view of man. Nowhere will they tell you, you know, we are so sinful that unless God were to redeem us, we would be damned. Never found that in any book. Let me give also a wrong view of death. Totally wrong. You know, remember that Satan said to Adam and Eve, I always jokingly, you've heard me say this before, always think that actually he was speaking to Shirley MacLaine there in the garden, because he said, "You, Shirley, shall not die." He told Adam and Eve that. But you'll notice that now, what do you mean you don't die? Reincarnation. Reincarnation says nobody dies. You just keep being recycled until eventually you go around and you're recycled enough times. And if you've been good in this life, why then indeed you will have a better life to come. It is a heartless, cruel, unbelievably cruel doctrine of karma. Imagine looking into the eyes of a little boy who has been burned by an angry, abusive father. And you look into his eyes and you say, you know what you're getting now is what you deserve, because you were bad in a previous life that you cannot remember because a veil of forgetfulness divides you from your past. But you're getting what you deserve. Heartless, cruel at the end of the day. So there's a wrong view of death. No God to fear. Why, when you die, Betty Edie says, you'll see a Jesus whom you are worthy to embrace. A Jesus that will not judge you, a Jesus who will accept you, and everybody in the end wins. Doctrine of demons. The Bible says that when you die, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. Let me say also, there's a wrong view of redemption. More specifically, there is no need for redemption. I've already mentioned that if there is any salvation, it comes through self-discovery, self-affirmation, and self-worship. You see, the doctrine of demons is directly opposite to the Bible. In the Bible, man fell and God redeems us. In New Age literature, it is the opposite way. God fell. You say, well, how can that be? Let me take a moment to explain. Originally, matter and spirit were one. They were unified. But then God broke apart into matter and spirit, and now it is up to us to redeem God by bringing him together through transcendental meditation, which incidentally is an awesome doorway into the occult. And so what you do is, you see, you do it like Kazantzakis, the author of The Last Temptation of Christ, said, God does not save us, and this is a quote now, so listen carefully, God does not save us, but we save God by transmuting matter into spirit. We are the saviors. And in occult literature, Eve is prized for having eaten the fruit of the tree, because now she has knowledge, and the serpent is worshipped and prized. All of that is the doctrine of demons. Now, I must hurriedly get to the most important point of the message, and that is, how do you get free from the occult? Some of you have gone into the occult, sometimes unknowingly, and just because it's unknowing, that does not mean that you might not be affected. Neil Anderson, in one of his books, tells the story of a missionary that went into a pagan Buddhist temple, took off his shoes in reverence, and that night spirits mocked him as he tried to sleep. When I was in Japan, I refused to go into those temples where tourists go. It's enough for me to see it from a distance. Because remember, if there is spirituality that is not based on the Bible or Christ, it is occultism. What do you do when you have those strongholds of the devil? Let me suggest very quickly. Number one, you have to be absolutely convinced of the power and the victory of Jesus. Let me share that verse of scripture I shared with a man who told me that he lived in the occult capital of the Midwest. Witches, covens, animal mutilations, all kinds of things happening. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, Jesus is speaking, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, and they are not, but liars. Now listen, I will make them. I like the New American Standard here. It says, I will cause them. I will cause them to come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I've loved you. Oh, I love that verse. Here is Jesus who has ascended, and he says, I've opened a door for you that nobody can shut. And if I ever shut a door, nobody can open it. And I will cause those who are of the synagogue of Satan to acknowledge the truth. Are you convinced that when Jesus died and rose, that his triumph over the devil was complete? There is nothing left to be done except that the sentence still has to be commuted, but Satan is out on bail and he's enjoying his time, supposedly, though I don't think it's an enjoyment at all. And all of the work has already been done and the victory has been purchased. And now Jesus invites us to stand there and say, participate with me in the victory. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. And like we often sing, the blood has never lost its power.
And how true that is, the blood has never lost its power. This is Pastor Lutzer. It is really true that our greatest need is always to have a fresh revelation of the power and the exaltation of Jesus. We always need to see him better, to see him more clearly, to understand his victory more thoroughly so that we can walk in all that he has purchased for us. Today I'm speaking to a person who is bound by Satan in some way. It may be an addiction. It may be an occultic ritual that you go through and you feel bound to it. Some of you even sense evil spirits where you are living, perhaps even inside of you. I bring you today to Jesus. He is the one who has triumphed. I love the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians, that he has triumphed over all principalities and powers, and he has disarmed them. That's the phrase that I love, having disarmed all principalities and powers. Can you accept that in your life today? Can you come, despite the resistance, and throw yourself at the feet of Jesus, receive his cleansing, his grace, and his power, and pray with someone else? Together, you will experience God's love and grace.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part 3 of Occultism, Not Superstitions, But Deceptions. The last message in his series on 7 Secret Snares. Monday, the conclusion. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in the book 7 Snares of the Enemy by Dr. Lutzer. Your copy will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next Running to Win.